If you have your Bibles, please turn to John 21, verses 15 to 25. John chapter 21. We do have pew Bibles in front of you if you did not bring a Bible, and I believe the words will be up on the screen as well. We've been looking at the accounts since Easter of the resurrected Jesus, and he's been doing some visitations. He's visited his disciples in a locked room. Thomas wasn't there, so he visits Thomas on another occasion. We've talked about that. He visits his disciples on another occasion while they were fishing. We talked about that last week. And we looked at John chapter 21, that first half is the fishing, the account of the fishing story. And we're going to pick up right where we left off. And we're going to finish looking at Jesus in his resurrected state. And then next week, we're going to look at his ascension. So ever since Easter, we've just kind of been marching along, looking at his life, his death, his resurrection, and what he did while resurrected. And then next week, we'll look at his ascension. And then in the summertime, we'll move into another series on the Psalms. It would kind of be volume 2 of the Psalms. We did that last summer, and it was a fruitful season, and so we want to re-enter that. So that's where we're going. And if you remember from last week, the fishing story, they weren't catching any fish. They fished all night, and then this man shows up on the shore and says, "Why don't you cast your net on the right side of the ship?" So they did. They caught a bunch of fish. It says in verse 7 of chapter 21 that the disciple that Jesus loved, John, the writer of this gospel, the apostle John, said, "That man on the shore, that's the Lord." So Peter gets out, jumps out, and they all go visit with their Lord and Savior, and he even invites them to breakfast. And that's kind of where we left off, with the disciples and Jesus eating breakfast. So we're going to pick up in verse 15 in chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk around wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Let's pray. God, would you speak to us this morning in ways that even we can understand by your powerful Holy Spirit? And by understanding, may we turn from our sin and may we turn to you. May we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think by now we are all well accustomed with the cultural redefinition of love. to mean pretty much anything you want it to mean. The floodgates are wide open on love. From a cultural, worldly perspective, love now includes affirming a person over the cliff instead of talking them down from it. This is the world's current definition and idea of love. But that's not us. We're better than that. We love God and we love His Word. No redefinition of love in this church. Well, while the cultural movement is to extend the boundaries of actual love to include actual insanity, our bent as disciples of Christ is to narrow the parameters of our love for God in unhealthy and unbiblical ways. We'll love you, God, as long as you don't mess too much of my style of living. We'll love you, Jesus, as long as you don't ask me to do anything too painful or risky or uncomfortable. I'll love you, Lord, and follow you as long as the journey is short and immediately satisfying. Here's the main truth of our passage that I'd like to hit on this morning. It's this. If you love Jesus, then you'll follow Jesus wherever he may lead you. If you love Jesus, then you'll follow Jesus wherever he may lead you. We'll look at this statement in three parts this morning. So first, if you love Jesus. In verses 15 and 17, Jesus and Peter appear to be having a public conversation in front of the other disciples. It's right after breakfast with everyone. And Jesus asks the first time in verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, there's a couple different opinions on what the more than these is. Who or what are the these? One option, it's Jesus saying, Peter, do you love me more than you love these disciples? Your friends, maybe? Another option could be, Peter, do you love me more than you love these fishing supplies? Since they were just fishing and now they're on the beach and eating their fish. Which seems like a silly option at first. Until God reminded me of how often I love my stuff over my Savior. After the Lord reminded me that I love my work over my Savior or my Amazon shopping cart over my Savior, then it became less silly and more convicting. But that could be what Jesus is asking. Or a third option, among many more, I'm sure, but a third likely option is that Jesus is asking Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these disciples love me? I think the third one is the most likely, in my mind, of what Jesus meant. After all, was it not Peter that boldly and brashly proclaimed in Matthew 26:33, though they all, the disciples, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. In John 13:36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where am I going? Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. So Peter, as a disciple of Christ, as an apostle or a sent one, for the sake of the church, we know, completely and publicly failed. So in our passage this morning, Jesus' conversation with Peter in front of the other disciples gives Peter a full, personal, and public reinstatement of his role in the church to carry out his commission. The commission given in the previous chapter, John chapter 20, verse 19 through 21, which says, on the evening of that day, this is John 20, 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord Jesus. When they saw the Lord, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." This is the commission of which Peter and the other disciples received. And in a passage like we have this morning, yes, we know about the threefold complete and utter public failure. And now we have a threefold complete and utter restitution, reinstallment of Peter's calling. Not only the forgiveness of his sins is affirmed in a passage like this, but also his calling to be a sent one. For Peter does love Jesus. Peter, the one who failed so miserably, along with all of the other disciples who also ran away at Jesus' arrest, now Peter gets the opportunity to do something he didn't even know he needed. Jesus giving Peter the opportunity to the point where Peter's offended that he's asking, and yet he needs this moment, clearly. An opportunity to express his love for Jesus. And as you can see, Peter doesn't directly answer Jesus' first question. If it is, "Do you love me, Peter, more than these disciples love me?" If that's the question, what's Peter's answer? He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He didn't quite answer the question, whether it's the fishing gear or whether it's, "Do you love me more than your friends?" Whatever the question is, he attests to the fact that God knows his heart. Peter was sad that Jesus had to ask three times, which we get. We totally get this. You know, we normally ask again of somebody when we doubt the truthfulness of their answer. Or at least the answer is very suspect. Our conversations might be with our kids. "Did you lie to me?" "No." "Did you lie to me?" "Nope." "Did you lie to me?" "No." Same answer. We get this. We've had these conversations. Same question. And if the child or the student is telling the truth, that third time, they're not saying, "No." They're saying, "No." Because their heart is broken at the fact that their mom or their dad doesn't trust them, doesn't believe them. Here they are, finally, maybe, telling the truth in a moment of hopefully not rarity, but they're saying, "No, I'm telling you I didn't." We get this. So Peter is grieved. "You know, Lord, that I love you. Why are you asking me a third time?" But Jesus, I don't think, is doubting Peter's answer. I don't think he's taking Peter's answer and saying, there's something fishy going on here. No. He knows. Peter's right. The Lord does know all things. The Lord does know his heart. So why is Jesus asking over and over again? It is this threefold reinstallment. This threefold, "You are my child." This threefold, "You are a shepherd in my church." It's a threefold, a full and utter proclamation in front of the other disciples who may or may not have lost a little bit of confidence in Peter. of Peter's love for his Lord and his role in the Lord's church. So feed my sheep, is what Jesus tells Peter. If you love me, feed my sheep. Take care of them. Love them. This is Peter's calling, to take care of God's people. Peter recognizes that third time in his answer that the Lord knows his heart truly. He knows, the Lord knows the fickleness of your heart. He knows the fickleness of your faith. He knows even that stuff. He knows Peter's failings. He knows Peter's weaknesses. He knows Peter's sins of omission, meaning sins they just try to ignore and not do, like righteous things that he's called to do, like take care of God's church. I'm just going to do something else. He knows Peter's sins of commission, things that he did to rebel against God's law. The Lord knows everything. Lord, you know my desires for you. You know my love for you. You know my desires for holiness. You know that I want to be with you always. The Lord knows. Maybe this morning God is asking you, do you love me? And maybe you need to be asked three times in order to take the question seriously. Maybe God is asking you this morning, do you love me in a way that causes you to truly think and reflect the answer to that question? And remember what I said before, that God's love and what the scriptures always teach is that before we answer that question quickly and say, okay, do I love God? I mean, actually and truly and sincerely, do I love God? Before we rush to an answer to that question by looking to our church attendance, our tithing, our biblical devotional life in the morning time, before we go there, it's okay to go there, but that's not the first place we should go in answer to that question. Do I love God? Well, have I seen... am I blown away with the fact that he made me? Right? We have to go back to the fact that God loves us. And all those things I said to the children, that like, how do we know that God loves us? Well, he made us. How do we know that God loves? He made promises with us. He keeps promises with us. And so for us to answer that question, do I love God? I think the first place we need to go is, he made me? He makes promises with me. He keeps promises with me. He delivered me. He sent his one and only son, his only son, for me. He forgives me, and he doesn't just leave me to live the Christian life by myself. He gives me his spirit. He's actually working on me. He disciplines me. Me, he's working on. He's changing. He's sanctifying. He's never going to let go. These are the things that he does for me. This is where we need to go first. God's love for me. Our love for God begins with our utter amazement of God and his love for me. Then we do want to look at our church attendance, our prayer lives. We do want to look at the things that we do and don't do and ask ourselves, why are we doing these things? Is it out of love for God, or is it just because? So if you love Jesus, then you'll follow Jesus. This is verses 15 through 19, where Jesus not only tells Peter to feed my sheep, but he also tells him more on how Peter will follow Jesus. So let's read verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." So the last two words, "follow me," these could be words that Jesus says to Peter, and he has no greater meaning behind them other than, "Peter, come with me. Let's go talk." Like, that could be it. He could just be saying, "Okay, we've had this discussion from the disciples. Now, Peter, I want to talk more with you, so follow me, and we'll talk more." That could be what's going on here. But I cannot help but read, "follow me," the loaded words that those are, without thinking of all the ways Jesus calls him to follow him. They're so pertinent, too, to what Jesus is saying to Peter to do with his life and to do with his death. What is he saying? He's saying, "Peter, do what I did," essentially. "Follow me. Peter, follow me in being a good shepherd." Jesus in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." So Jesus is saying to Peter in this exchange, "If you love me, this will significantly impact your life's work and your life's end. You, Peter, follow me into being a good shepherd. Peter, take care of the sheep, God's people, by protecting them from enemies who would like to hurt the sheep. Peter, follow me by taking care of the sheep's health, their lives, their worries, their fears, their struggles. Care about the food that they receive. Make sure they're well fed. Make sure it's truth. I mean, solid truth, food that lasts, the bread of life. Care for them, Peter. Follow me. Shepherd the flock of which I entrust to you. Care for them like they are your own. Peter, know your sheep. May they know you, and may they know your shepherd. May they know the Father. May they know his name. May they know his love. May they know his character. May they know his works. Help them to know the good shepherd. Peter, I'm calling you to be a good shepherd. So be connected to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Serve the sheep with your life. Lay your life down for them. And look out for the sheep that are not yet in your group. And make sure you bring them in. And make sure they know who your shepherd is. Get them. Bring them in and love them. Serve them with your life. Serve them with your death. This is what Jesus is calling Peter to do, to follow him. And this is exactly what Jesus did for us and for Peter. In John 21, 18 and 19, Jesus tells Peter by what kind of death he was to glorify God in. Yes, you can glorify God in your death, just as you can in your life.
It says in verses 18 and 19 that one day Peter will be clothed with a heavy cross. He, a good shepherd, will lay down his life for God's people, not to save them from their sins like Jesus did, but out of love for his Lord. He will serve God no matter the cost. So, who is a passage like this for? I'm talking about shepherding a flock, taking care of the sheep. Well, it certainly directly applies to our elders here, who are shepherds. It also applies to our deacons who serve this flock. It also applies to any Christian leader serving in Christ's church. It also applies to every Christian not currently serving in Christ's church, both in a call to do it and a wake-up call of how much our Lord loves his sheep. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Take care of my flock. There is no love of Jesus without love of his people. I love God, God loves me. His people I don't care for. That whole thing. That's a misnomer. Peter, since you love me, feed my sheep, feed my people, take care of them. I love them. Love for God goes with love for God's people, and that is what Peter needs to hear, and us too. Matthew 16:24 sums up. He says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" If you love Jesus, you will follow Jesus. And then thirdly, wherever he may lead you. Wherever he may lead you. This last statement is not meant to open the floodgates open wide that says, well, now anything goes if it's in God's name. God's leading me to be selfish and lustful. And God's leading me to spread this juicy gossip of half-truth. God's leading me to affirm and encourage sin in any shape, form, or fashion. God's leading me to look out for number one. God's leading me to verbally or physically destroy my neighbors. No. Wherever he may lead you, it is to say that there is much variation in our loving service to our King. He calls Christians in his kingdom to live differently, and he calls Christians in his kingdom to die differently. All for his kingdom, all for his glory. Look at verses 20 through 24. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper, and said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread among the brothers that this disciple was not to die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. "But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. It's a little confusing of what's going on here. It appears that Jesus is walking with Peter now. The "follow me" is literal as well. They're having a conversation. Peter's looking back, realizing that John, the beloved disciple, is following them. And Peter looks at Jesus and says, "Okay, I've basically just heard what's in store for me, that I'm going to one day wear a cross, that this is how I'm going to die, and this is how I'm going to glorify you. So now I know how I'm going to live and how I'm going to die. What about this guy? What about John?" Now, this guy is actually a close friend. It's not just a random guy. This is apparently a close friend at this point. This is part of the inner three of disciples. This is part of the group that experienced the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the same beloved disciple, John, that referenced in that verse. Peter nudge John, or at least motion to him, hey, John, ask him at the Last Supper, ask him who's going to betray him. He just said one of us is going to betray him. You ask him. Clearly, there's some bond here. Peter's really concerned, like, what about him? And Jesus' answer is, what is this to you? If it is my will that he sees the return, it is my will. What is this to you? You, Peter, follow me. It is to say that John and Peter lived a different calling. Not totally and radically. They both served King Jesus, but there is great variation in both their life and in their death. Jesus tells Peter not to be concerned with the details of John's life of service and death in service to his king. Concern yourself with how you are going to follow Jesus, because there is a great variety in service to the king. Not everyone is called to be persecuted to death for the sake of the king, but some are. We know all are called to suffer for the king, but again, that takes different shapes and forms. Pastor Charles Madama is a pastor in Tanzania, which is prominently a Christian country, except for the island of Zanzibar, which is 99% Muslim, which is the place that Charles was being called to pastor in. This is an article I read this week in Voice of the Martyrs about Pastor Charles Madama. It talks about how he was called to be a pastor, and it was kind of interesting. He started having this recurring dream of sheep and goats following him wherever he went. And so he went to his church leaders and says, so I keep having this dream that these sheep and these goats keep following me. Well, what does this mean? And they all agreed, you should be a pastor. So he became a pastor, and he wanted to plant churches in Zanzibar, the 99% Muslim area. I think population 1.4 million, if I remember correctly. But because of the persecution Charles would experience, he would start a church, and then eventually the town people would literally scare his people, his flock, to death, and they would scatter off. He would start a new church, same thing, over and over again. His fourth attempt at starting a church, he even got the government's permission to build a structure and call it a church, a Christian church. But once the church started to gain a little traction, the government lied and said that all their documentation was forged, so they bulldozed the church building. It says this in the article, after serving four churches for more than two decades, Charles could have retired and spent the rest of his days enjoying his grandchildren. He had fought the good fight. But shortly after the government destroyed Charles's fourth church building, a church member approached him with a new offer. If the government is going to take this land from us, she told him, then I will give my land for the church to worship on. Inspired by the woman's courage and sacrificial heart, Charles decided to press on. With help from frontline workers, he and the remaining members of his congregation built a simple structure with a sheet of metal roof. The church has persisted and even planted two new churches. This is the calling on Charles's life. So the question we all should ask ourselves this morning is, do I love Jesus? Because if I love Jesus, I will follow Jesus and all that that means, wherever he may lead you. It is not for us to compare our lives with Pastor Charles and say, oh man, that's real love. That's an authentic Christian life. That's sacrificial love. I'm nothing like that. No. The question is, do I love Jesus? Am I following Jesus wherever that may lead me? And yes, that will include suffering for all of us. And that will include sacrificial love. And where does it start? It starts here. It starts with his sacrificial love for us. Let's pray. Oh God, would we come to the table now and receive? Would we come to the table now and be utterly amazed again? Utterly amazed that you made promises with me, dust, that you keep your promises for us, your people, that you sent your one and only Son to die on the cross for us, sinners, those who will deny you over and over again if given the chance and opportunity. So, Lord, would we come once again to your table and be utterly amazed by you and your love for your people? We pray this in Jesus' name.